Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, just 6 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. I am Brady Hull. We've got Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass filling in for Angel today, and Tanner Schwint hanging out with me for a little bit, off and on throughout the show.
Sorry,
Oh, let's turn his mic on there, Mike.
That'd be good.
Turn his mic on, Mike.
No, there it is.
There it is.
Hi!
I had to take a phone call for 30 seconds, and
Micah just said, no, the microphones are off.
Thou shalt not pass.
No more Tanner Schwint talking here.
You shall not leave.
Well,
you abandoned Brady, and I'm like, you're dead to us.
Well, yeah, and I do appreciate it, because my brain, I got a little foggy brain right now.
Yeah.
This is, I know, I always kind of do.
I felt really bad you called me on Friday, and the first thing out of my mouth was, dude, you sound like crap. And you're like, thanks. I'm like,
I still sound pretty bad. I don't feel as bad as I did Friday, but man, Friday night was a rough go.
I bet.
And Saturday was a rough go. So there was part of me that was pretty happy that CSU was moving practices around and stuff because I was going to have to text them and make an excuse as to why I'm not there.
Why did you not just stay home today?
Because, Tanner, it's called working time and not working time.
I know.
And I'm still on working time.
Well, no, I was here. I'm like, dude, you need to get better.
No, we want to bring you live and local programming each and every day here. And we're gonna fight through it if we can. If there's a fighting chance, we're going to bring you the whole show.
I respect it.
That's how it's going to be.
I respect it.
Sean Payton was pretty vocal over the weekend at the owners meeting. And I love that the coaches all take a group picture, like a class picture together. And you got all the coaches sitting there.
I love it so much.
Elementary school kind of thing.
I love it because they're all weird.
He was talking about he addressed the trade rumors surrounding Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton. He acknowledged that to NFL Network. He said, I see and read just like everyone else does. Then occasionally when someone really crowds the plate, I throw a fastball right at their chin. And they back up, and they're like, all right. And so I haven't thrown any fastballs lately, but we're not trading those two players. What does the first part of that even mean? Sounded like Charlie Sheen going off there.
We've seen him do this already, right? When he was, people were getting on him about not having his coaching staff, and he went out and said, you know, give it whatever he tweeted out, right? We've seen him do that when the noise gets too out of control, he'll come in and kind of squash it. I think that's what he was getting at. But the only thing that this means is that those two players are absolutely getting traded. We know it's like as soon as a coach goes, no, I'm 100% back. No, you're not. You're gone. I think it's ludicrous to talk about trading Jerry Jeudy. I think that is a very stupid idea. You finally got one guy that got a little bit of chemistry with Russell Wilson last year, and that was Jerry Jeudy. Courtland Sutton, if you can unload that contract 100%.
Yeah, but you're not going to get, for Jeudy, maybe a second rounder. I mean, at the very best, you could see a first rounder out of this, but it doesn't. I mean, I think it'd be done by now.
Yeah.
But it could be trade night. It could be the night of the trade or the draft night. We see Jerry Jeudy get moved.
I don't like that idea. Do you like the idea of trading Jerry Jeudy?
No. Well, Tim Patrick makes more sense to this offense.
Yeah.
But just brought in Callaway. So, I mean, he wasn't good last year, but the year before that, he was pretty solid.
But KJ Hamler, you know, he just gets injured again.
The idea is still that he'd be back by training camp. So, I mean,
you've got a history now,
Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, and Callaway.
Can you try? That sounds like.
Probably
like a
not.
Law firm.
But I just listen, Courtland Sutton, you know, he's supposed to be a DK Metcalf type of guy, and he's not even close to that.
It's so underwhelming. I don't.
And you can't really just blame it on Russ and the offensive line. They were dropping passes last year.
And his lack of effort, or at least perceived lack of effort, really bugged me too. Because if Jeudy was dropping a pass, he was doing it at 100 miles an hour. And there's something to be said where you're still playing hard. And I get it. Jeudy, he's a receiver. They're all drama filled, no matter what they do. But Sutton just didn't seem like he could care. I mean, he could care less if he's out there or not. He couldn't care less. So,
yeah.
I like the idea of moving on from Sutton, get a healthy Tim Patrick back here, and pair him up with Jerry Jeudy. I like that. I hate the idea of trading Jerry Jeudy. I think this is a cornerstone of your offense. I think you have to build around him.
Sean Payton elaborated and said this: when people call and the phone rings like it does this time of year, General Manager George Payton's job is to pick it up and say, hey, tell you what, we're not. And so we've received calls, you bet. Those are two good football players. But we're in the business of gathering talent right now. Why do people call? Because they know we're void of draft picks and that we might, because there was some discussions a year ago, I think, regarding Cortland. But we like the current group that we're working with. I mean, I take that as he's not going to move the guys.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I know things can be said, but I don't know if Sean Payton really wants to start it off so strongly that, no, we're not trading them. And the only reason people are calling is because they know we want draft picks, but we're saying no.
No, and that all changes too, right? On draft night, if there's a guy they've got, you know, evaluated as a first-round talent, and he's falling, and all of a sudden, you can get a second-round pick, you can get one of those top picks in the second round, and your guy is still there, then things start to look different. Because you're like, okay, we can get this guy for this, we thought he was going to be in the top 15, then you make the deal, if you know you can get your guy. So I don't love that he's saying it with foregone certainty, that it's not gonna happen, but I like that he's squashing it for right now, and I think it's a guy that has his players back, and I don't know if Nathaniel Hackett necessarily had his guys back.
I think he had their backs, but probably too much.
But everybody's okay.
Yeah, we're great.
But he said we're still taking the calls, right? It's an adult. He's treating them like adults. You know, I think Nathaniel Hackett treated them just like as his college buddies, where it's like, oh, yeah, man, no way. I would never do that. And then they didn't. I like what Sean Payton's doing here. I like him coming out and saying it. Do I believe all of it? No.
Eastside Chris says, which one of the divas will go to the slot? Well, I kind of liked how they lined up Jerry Jeudy at the end of the season, but that wasn't in the slot. But it would make sense that he'd be more of a slot guy, especially if KJ Hamler's not healthy to start the season or does get hurt. Because Tim Patrick, I would imagine, just based on what we know about Sean Payton's offense, Tim Patrick's likely number one.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. I mean, the guy's talented enough to be that. The best part of this offseason so far, outside of the hiring of Sean Payton, in my mind, the best part of this offseason so far has been the fact that we haven't heard from Russell Wilson. We have not heard from him. He has not made the headlines, other than his charity stuff that happened, you know, stuff like that. But he has been out of the headlines for a couple of months now, and I think that's fantastic. This is a guy that's got to get refocused and really trying to get...
Last tweet he made was his wife in some kind of parachute pants or something like that.
That's bizarre.
That's the last tweet. That was March 23rd, and it was just proud of you.
That's fine. That's not let's ride.
Or some weird pants.
Or
there,
any
man.
Videos or anything like that. You know, I like it. I think you got a guy that's refocused now and knows that there's a coach here that he's not going to be able to walk all over. And I think he just walked all over Nathaniel Hackett. I think it's a really good sign for Broncos country that he's not out doing these things. He's not growing. He's not trying to just focus on his brand. Now, he better be focusing on football. But, you know, I saw somebody pose a question. I can't remember who it was, but saw somebody pose a question like, how much – I think it was Zach Stevens at DNVR, but how much of a pass do you give Russell Wilson for last year because of his, he went and had his knee scoped or something like that? Mm. Do you give him a pass at all for last year?
I here's
because
the thing.
Because of his injury.
I'm more of a really, really think it can work out still for Russ. You were out on this guy early.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw what he did in Seattle. He was a good quarterback in Seattle. He was on a trajectory. I talked about this on Friday. Had you take last season out, Russ was on his way to being maybe not one of the greatest, certainly not one of the greatest of all time, but getting closer and closer to that top 10 status. That last year knocked him way back into the 30s, probably. But he's capable of this. I mean, men in black are brains right now. Take the little thing and embrace your brain from last summer or from last season. And you're looking at Russ going, dude, this is one of the premier quarterbacks still.
I don't know why. I don't know what it was that why I never fell in love with him in Seattle. I think it was because of how good that defense was, and I viewed him more as a game manager who made the play late. You know, he does have that in him. I just never was that. I never thought of him in that way. I always thought he was a second tier quarterback, and so my expectations are really, really low. But then you had a guy who in my mind was already a second tier quarterback coming in here and trying to grow his brand and trying. act like he is one of the best, and it bit him on the butt. And now you've got a guy in Sean Payton that's saying, no, this isn't going to happen. And can you get Russ refocused and focused on this? I hope so, but I don't give him a pass at all for the knee stuff from last year. There's no pass there for him at all. You're making that much money. You're scheduled to make that much money.
That's why he didn't move as well. Maybe that's why he didn't move as well. I mean, he's the guy that gets out of the pocket and scrambles and runs around.
When he was in the pocket, he was missing throws. He was throwing interceptions. He was, you know, you go back to that Indianapolis game, they have a wide open touchdown to win it. He misses it.
But what does it matter if we're willing to give him a pass or not? He's a starting quarterback. He's going to be the starting quarterback for the Broncos. So whether you want to give him a pass or not, he's the guy. He's still got to prove it. He's got a month. He's probably got a month. And if it's bad, like we saw most of the season last year, then Jarrett Stidham's going to take over, and then you tank.
Yeah. No, and that's a terrifying scenario for Broncos fans. It's a terrifying scenario just hearing you say those words, but it is the truth at this point. And here's the thing. This is why you and I have spent a lot of time debating on Russell Wilson, how genuine he is. And I don't necessarily always love this, but in this case, I think it's true. If he's that genuine and he's not performing like this, rework your deal. Rework the contract that you signed. Go and help the team. If you're really all about team and winning and let's ride, Broncos country, let's ride. If you're really all about that, rework your damn deal so you got more cap space to bring in people that can help you win. And I don't know what I think that speaks to him not being as genuine as some people believe.
Yeah, I mean, last year did not help his brand, and then you get all the stories coming out from ESPN and whatnot about his relationship with Carroll and Seattle.
That felt like a hit piece to me. That felt like an unwarranted.
And this coming from you.
Piece. I know. It is coming from me. I've been one of the
biggest
critics.
I think it was just easy to pile on the guy, and I think that's what we do in the media, is you pile on a guy, and then when he opens himself up a little bit more, then we pile on a little bit more. I mean, Lamar Jackson is probably going to be that guy now. He's going to be somebody that people pile on with this guy.
Yeah, this is going to surprise you, too, because I can't stand Lamar Jackson as a football player. I don't have an issue with what he's doing in Baltimore right now. I don't have an issue with him demanding a trade. It's weird.
If he sits out a year, then you should have an issue. Because I mean, who's going to take that? Who's going to trade two first-round picks and then draft up that contract for him?
If he's as good of a quarterback.
When healthy he is.
As you believe he is.
Yeah, when healthy.
Then yes, he's worth two first round picks. If Aaron Rodgers
and the money he wants?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. If I'm I don't know. I saw this name pop up and I don't know if they would do it. But could you imagine him in New England? Like, I think Lamar Jackson in New England would be a really good fit because they know they like to ground and pound. You know they like to keep the ball on the ground and then take that, you know, hit the tight ends on that stuff. He's made for that. So if I'm New England, absolutely I'm willing to
do
that.
What is Jackson wanting? Because the franchise tag right now, he'd get $32.4 million next year. And he wants more than that,
yeah.
Obviously, right?
But this is the thing, and you're already seeing it. The Browns are reworking Deshaun Watson's deal. So guaranteed money is the issue. It's the guaranteed. Now, if he wants a big contract with incentives and stuff like that, he absolutely do it. But Lamar and somebody close to him needs to be in his ear saying, you need to hire an agent. You got to find somebody who's good at this. You may be the best NFL player. You may be the best quarterback of all time. But this is not where you're at. This isn't your arena.
He turned down an offer from Baltimore at the beginning of last season for $133 million guaranteed at signing, $175 million guaranteed for injury, and $200 million in total guarantees if he's not on the roster on the fifth day of the 2026 league year. So, I mean, he turned that down.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. But the guy, if I'm a mediocre organization right now and that's my weak point, if I'm Denver and it's anybody here besides Russell Wilson, I give that up. I would make that same deal. And I don't like Lamar Jackson. I think he's more of a running back than he is a quarterback. But if I'm Denver, and let's say it was any other guy, you know, let's say it was the Case Keenum year again, I'm making that deal. I trade for Lamar Jackson. I give up the first-round picks, give him that type of money.
If Denver had first-round picks, I mean, I'd, you know, would Baltimore want Russell Wilson? You'd trade that away. But you don't have the picks. Trust me, I thought about that today. But it's going to be two first-round picks.
Yeah.
And then the monster contract.
But if Aaron Rodgers is still warranting that much, Lamar Jackson should warrant that much.
But Lamar's style of play, as you've pointed out, I mean, it could be done
yeah.
in one game. Rodgers doesn't play like that. He'll run, he'll move. Even in his heyday, he'll run and move around the pocket. but it was never like Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson moved. Yeah. I mean, he more than Michael Vick.
But I think this is one of those things. You've got to be sure. And it's too bad. It's too bad Angel's not here, because like if I'm Miami, I 100% do this. I move on from Tua, or at least put him in the backup spot. You bring in Lamar, because I think Miami is a quarterback away. I think the Dolphins, I think Tua is the thing.
Miami with Lamar. I mean, again, and I'm not writing off Tua just yet, because I've seen some really good things from him until he got those concussions.
Yeah.
But Lamar would.
Lamar's
again, when healthy, he's an amazing athlete. He's ridiculous. He's a game changer out there.
Him with Tyreek Hill and the rest of the supporting staff they've got there in Miami now, and you've got Jalen Ramsey on the defensive side of the ball. You got Jalen Waddle out there. I mean, you throw Lamar Jackson with that offense. You're talking about a potentially, if Lamar stayed healthy with that, Miami would potentially be a Super Bowl favorite, but not with Tua.
Well, you know, we'll see with the Lamar thing. That's interesting. The NFL, man, I mean, it's this. We got some craziness going on. And with the Aaron Rodgers deal with the Jets. And
is that done? Is that not done?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
It's not done yet. I mean, the Packers can wait until June.
What is the benefit of waiting until June?
Because the amount that they owe him this season would go down.
Oh.
So they can wait until June to move him. They have all the power right now.
And I'll just say this, Green Bay, as much success as Aaron Rodgers has brought Green Bay, I don't think Green Bay owes Aaron Rodgers anything. After the way that he's treated them the last couple of years of holding them hostage, I don't think Green Bay owes Aaron Rodgers a damn thing. And I don't blame them if they do hold on to him until June. But that, boy, what a matchup that would be with New York. Do the Jets come here this year, or do the Broncos go to them?
I can't remember. You would ask that. I figured Michael would know back there. He has the schedule memorized in his brain
I think they come here again. I know they came here last year, but what a return.
Do we have that set yet? Is that set? Is the schedule set? Or we just know
I believe it
who
is.
They're playing?
I believe it's set.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's set.
I don't think it's set yet.
But I know we have our
opponent. Because we have the schedule release show still that we haven't had yet. So that hasn't happened.
Well, whenever that game is, what a return. You got Nathaniel Hackett. Possibly Aaron Rodgers, and it's going to be entertaining. But if I'm the Jets, you give whatever it is. And if Aaron Rodgers and you can't get a deal done with Green Bay, if I'm the Jets, I give Baltimore what they want. Now, I don't know if they're looking to trade him to an NFC opponent or NFC team. Tampa Bay, does Tampa Bay make sense for Lamar Jackson?
No, they got Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, that's true.
Broncos beat the Jets at home.
They got no worries. Right now.
In San Francisco, are you?
What did you say? The Broncos will beat the Jets at home?
Or they did?
Yes.
Oh, they will. Did they beat the Jets last year? No, they lost.
They lost.
No, but the Broncos get the Jets
Trevor
at home,
Simeon 2.0.
And it will be a victory for the Broncos.
Trevor Siemian 2.0 last year started in that game.
Yeah, they lost to 16-9.
Yeah. What's the guy's name? Why can't I think
Brett
of his Rippin? Name? Yeah. Trevor Siemian 2.0. Same guy. Exact same guy.
Well,
you know,
we'll
if anyone's going to rip like a body part, it should have been Brett Rippin.
Nice.
No offense, I like Brett Rippin, but like that name.
24 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk more about the Nuggets tonight. No Joel Embiid. Is he ducking the MVP right now? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Tanner Schwint this spring for Preps Baseball. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-eight minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. No Joel Embiid tonight in this what we believe to be a pretty big game for both teams right now when you're looking at their standings, but also for the MVP race between Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, who are the two favorites right now at this point.
When was the last time Joel Embiid played in Denver? There's your trivia question. I just saw this put up there.
I don't know.
2018.
Okay.
He's dodged him the last 3 years when it was in Denver.
Altitude.
Yeah, that's what it is. He has dodged him the last 3 years. That he's missed this game because of one reason or another. He just will not play in Denver.
Katie Wingy tweeted this out. The last time, five times Joker and Embiid have matched up in Denver. Joker played five games the last time, 26 points per game, 51% field goal percentage, 12 rebounds per game, seven assists per game. Embiid one game played.
Yeah.
The last five matchups.
It's insane.
19 points in that game, 15 rebounds and two assists. So, I mean, everybody was saying this, and unfairly so, on the Joker side was like, oh, this game's going to mean everything. And I think Joker fans were like, oh, this is Embiid's probably going to have maybe a bigger night because Joker doesn't play that way in a game like this. And so we thought, man, if they're going to put all the stock into this game, that obviously bodes better for Joel Embiid. But with no Joel Embiid tonight, if Joker goes off, that's just another game that I think that you would, and I don't know if Harden's playing either. I believe Harden's questionable or he's day-to-day or something like that. So this is a weird one to me. You know, he's got an injured calf. He's been ruled out for tonight. James Harden has been officially. No. He is expected to play tonight. So James Harden's playing. It's a strange one.
The Nuggets are 7-point favorites.
No, they were 5-point favorites. So the Joel Embiid thing, I guess, was that big of a thing there. And that changes things up a little bit. But so if Joker goes off tonight, let's just say he goes 27, 12, and 8. Does that put him over?
Yeah, James Harden? I think so. I think this is a horrible look for Joel Embiid. I think it's just a horrible look. And you're even starting to see these odds makers, hey, right, wrong, or indifferent, they've got a pretty good finger on the pulse of what's going on. For a minute there, Joel Embiid had been down to like a minus 250 betting favorite to be the MVP for this year. Minus 110 for Joel Embiid, plus 120 for Nikola Jokic. So it's almost a pick 'em at this point.
Wow.
And yeah, when this is one of those narratives that spreads like this, and it's hard to ignore. I mean, writers do pay attention to this. They pay attention to how do they match up head to head. And yeah, normally Joel Embiid's going to get the best of those individual performances. But I don't think writers are dumb. I think the casual NBA fan is dumb. I think that's kind of a known thing, but that the House of Highlights or ESPN just posting on their Instagram all the time, oh, Embiid went off 40 some points. But then look at the box score. How many times did he get to the free throw line? How many shots did it take for him to get there? The efficiency of what Nikola Jokic does is the thing that I don't think common basketball fans really get about how he does these things and how it's not with high shot quantity. It's shot quality. And I think that's what the NBA writers and the people who vote on the MVP, I think that's what they see. They see the efficiency and say, there's nobody who's ever done it like this.
But this is a significant game tonight. And I know it's an Eastern-Western Conference game, but it doesn't matter in the win-loss total. The Nuggets are three games above Memphis. They have, what, eight games remaining. So every game is pretty important if you want to lock down that first seed. Philadelphia is 3.5 games behind Boston at this point for the second spot. It's going to be tough, but again, a win tonight would really help their case in this game. So
it seems like he's settled in for the Sixers are settled in for the three seed. The other important thing, and this is a drum that I've been beating on Good Morning NoCo, I think it would be huge for the Denver Nuggets to have the best record overall so they could have the home court advantage in the NBA Finals. They're only three games back in Milwaukee for that right now. They're only three games back, so the Nuggets go on a roll here. And all of a sudden, if Milwaukee kind of falls apart or they lock up the number one seed in the East,
man,
Denver can still go get this thing done.
Denver just smoked Milwaukee.
Needed that.
I mean, just absolutely took it to them in that third quarter of defense by Denver was amazing. I was watching the game on NBA TV, and their guys were like, I'm giving the Nuggets a C-. And the only reason I'm giving them that is because it's a shootout right now. Nuggets were down by three, and they gave the Nuggets a C-, as far as grading them on their potential chance to be a contender. And they gave them a C-, and one of the guys was like, they get a C- because the only reason it's not a D is because it's a shootout right now. What? Okay, whatever. But then the defense came out, and I think Giannis only had like 7 points in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you need to see at halftime in the playoffs is halftime adjustments. And that's what the Nuggets did. They outscored Milwaukee 34-19 in that third. That was absolutely critical. They win big, 129-106.
Well, and they got the guy off the bench. Bruce Brown.
Bruce Brown, we need to see it, right? Yeah, you got to have him.
You have to have him. But this team, as weird as it sounds, this team will only go as far as Jamal Murray goes. He is the X factor for this team. You're going to get 18 to 24 points from Michael Porter Jr. He's established that. You're going to get the big games from the Joker. Who's that third guy? Who is it? And it has to be Jamal Murray. You saw him 5 of 10 from the three-point line in this game against Milwaukee. The Nuggets will only go as far as Jamal Murray goes. And the bad news, if you're a Nuggets fan, is that he's so up and down, you never know which Jamal Murray you're going to get. But this team will only go as far as what Jamal Murray goes on this. And that's a weird thing to be saying when you got the back-to-back MVP.
I agree about Jamal Murray to an extent. He had 26 points against Milwaukee, and then you blow him out. So if you get that Murray, you're going to beat a lot of teams. If Murray can play to the – that's the bubble Murray right there. If you get that Murray, then you're going to win. You're going to win an NBA title this year because you know Nikola Jokic is going to get a triple-double. He's going to get his somehow, some way. And then obviously Michael Porter Jr., you want to have a good game. But I agree. You want to have Jamal Murray be special in this, and maybe he can be.
What is your goal? I mean, what is your expectation for the Denver Nuggets?
To win a championship.
This year?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So anything other than that's a failure?
No. That's my expectation this year. I think they're good enough to do it, but it's not a failure. They got to get to the Western Conference Finals. If they don't do that, it's considered a failure.
So you think even if they get there and lose in the Western Conference Finals, yep. So you think it was a successful year?
I think it was mildly successful, yes.
This year in this Western Conference, you have to make the NBA Finals. You have to do it. You look at what's happening in Dallas right now. The Mavs are falling apart. You look at what's happening with the Lakers, and LeBron went to the LeBron James.
None of those guys you're mentioning are contenders. Phoenix and Golden State.
Because there's not a contender.
Phoenix and Golden State. Phoenix wasn't a contender last year, and then they won it. I mean, Golden State will be there when it's all said and done.
Memphis is 9-1
in their last 10.
I don't think Golden State is a championship contending team this year. They're horrible on the road. Klay Thompson has not been anywhere close to himself. And I'm sorry, I don't think
he's still averaging like 21 points per game.
I don't think Steph Curry can carry this team to a championship by himself. Is it terrifying when he starts going on those flurries?
This is what they did last year.
That's fine.
This is how they were last year.
I don't think this is the same quality of team as Golden State is, or as last year's team was. I just don't see that from Golden State. But when you look at Phoenix, yes, they scare me if Kevin Durant is healthy and that team meshes. Memphis doesn't scare me. Memphis, they've got as inexperienced as the Nuggets are. The Nuggets have more experience. Sacramento does not scare me. There's not a team that sits here. Phoenix healthy is the only team that I go, okay, that could be concerning. But outside of that, this is the most open Western Conference we've seen in forever. And so now you look at it and say, okay, you should be able to breeze through in the NBA, playoffs on that Western Conference side of things. And in the East, you've got the Sixers, you've got Celtics, you've got the Bucks, who are all going to beat each other up at some point. The Eastern Conference is a pretty good conference this year. This should be the year that the Nuggets bring home a championship.
I'm just telling you, man, don't sleep on Golden State. You just can't. They beat Philadelphia with ease, 120-112 the other night. Jordan Poole's ridiculous talent.
I don't think Jordan Poole was worth that contract.
33,
I don't think he would have done that.
33 against Philadelphia.
They're so up and down.
27 against Minnesota.
They're streaky when it comes to their shooting, which is something that Golden State normally is not. You normally cannot say that about Golden State.
It'll all silence once they get into the playoffs, I'm telling you.
Golden State doesn't scare me. I know they should because we have nightmares still. I still have nightmares of, was it David Lee that came? Wasn't that the mm-hmm. the forward? He wasn't supposed to be back, and then all of a sudden he's back and just beats us in the first round. I get it. I still got nightmares about that.
They should
Golden
scare
State
you.
Does not scare
they
me.
They should
year.
Scare you. They are, I mean, again, this team, talk about experience. They can coast. They can get hurt. They cannot play their best. And then once the playoffs start, it all settles down for them. That's what veteran teams do.
I get it, but here's how I look at that matchup. First of all, and I know what you're going to say, but first of all, nobody on Golden State's team can guard Nikola Jokic. Now, can anybody guard Steph
Draymond Curry? Guarded him pretty good last year in those playoffs, dude.
I just don't think he slowed him down. I don't think so. I think, and nobody can guard Michael Porter Jr. I don't believe that either. Like, Draymond's going to have to pick one of those guys. And now, defensively, can KCP and Aaron Gordon be those dogs that you talked about? Can they be those dogs
KCP's
defensively?
KCP's been struggling lately.
You know, 11 points, 8 boards against Milwaukee. He's fine. I think he's starting to turn around a corner. And I think what you're seeing is that you're seeing those fringe guys who checked out during that losing streak start to check back in.
I'll tell you a guy, and maybe you mentioned this or maybe Angel mentioned this, but Zeke Nnaji coming back is going to be, he had 6 rebounds in that game against Milwaukee, but they were gritty rebounds. He was getting after it on the boards.
Well, and for the Nuggets, you've got to win the rebounding battle. You've got to win that and get the ball in the hands of the Joker or Jamal Murray and get it out and going. And they out-rebounded Milwaukee by 8 in that game.
You think they blow away Philadelphia tonight? 7-point favorites, they cover that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Philly's just not the same team without Joel. Like the Nuggets. You know, the Nuggets without Joker.
Sitting here saying, you know, bet the overs on Joker, I think he could have a triple-double by half. I mean, I think it's going to be the danger.
That's the dangerous game you play betting on Nikola Jokic is...
Just how good is he going to be?
And what kind of Joker is he going to be?
I think...
Again, he's unlike any superstar we've ever seen.
I think he fills it up tonight. And if this thing's anywhere close, I think they leave him in and they go for Joel Embiid's throat.
I mean, you get this win tonight. You set yourself up. Then you have 7 games remaining, and you should be able to lock up the first seed.
You hope so.
It's an important game.
This is a tough stretch for Denver, though. And you look at you go look at Memphis's schedule. I mean, it's easy the rest of the way through for Memphis. And Denver's just grinding this thing out. That's why I was hitting the panic button when they were on that skid.
You should beat, again, you got New Orleans on Thursday. Plenty of time in between that game. Should win that one. Yeah. I don't know where Zion is at this point. But once he comes back, they'll be tough. You're at Phoenix on Friday. Kevin Durant, do we know?
Nobody knows. Like you said, he could break his ankle in the parking lot.
Golden State on Sunday. That could be tough.
That's an easy
one. Then you're at Houston. You should win that.
Yep.
At Phoenix, again, where's KD? At Utah, you should win that. Home against Sacramento to finish it.
Get past.
When I first looked at the stretch, it started with Milwaukee and Philadelphia. If you come out of that 2-0, you're feeling great.
You're feeling great, but you still got Golden State. You got two with Phoenix, and even without KD, you're still looking at Chris Paul and Devin Booker and what they do. Sacramento's the number 3 team in the West right now, so that stretch is still difficult for Denver. But this is why you should have taken care of business and not gone on that losing streak when Michael Malone put out the message where we can take our foot off the gas right now. You can't. You got to be playing your best basketball. Now they've won 3 in a row. Can they keep this going?
Yeah. Well, should be able to do it tonight. 7:30 up against Philadelphia. 42 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back to the show. Kind of a strange weekend. I mean, you've got Sean Payton calling out the trade rumors about Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. You've got a big game tonight with Philadelphia and Denver, and no Joel Embiid, a game we all kind of circled for the last month or so, thinking this was going to be an MVP-type showdown. Weird March Madness, good or bad or the ugly, whatever.
Great.
It's strange. It's a lot of madness. And the Rockies start on Thursday.
They do.
And you got the Avs.
Baseball's back.
The Avs going at it tonight. Yeah. Could we get a double dub?
Double dub. They're back in action tonight. They win against in a shootout. They win a shootout against the... I hate calling them the Coyotes, because I call them Coyotes.
Which is incorrect.
Do you call them Coyotes?
They're Coyotes. The actual name of the animal is a coyote.
It's a coyote.
Nope.
Yes.
That is an Eastern, I'm afraid that is an Eastern Colorado thing. And you're just close enough to that. It's Wiley the Coyote.
It's Wiley the
They're Coyotes. Michael, grammar check.
Coyote or Coyotes?
I suppose it goes where you're from. I've always said coyote because I'm a normal human being. But
that
I mean, you could say coyote.
Coyote Ugly, the movie? It's not Coyote Ugly. It's coyote. Coyote.
Let's go. Hey, there's a coyote out in that field, right?
That's what it is.
It's possible that coyote is...
It might be a country thing. Because I've never
heard... Call a raccoon a rack?
No.
Yeah.
It's possible that Coyote comes from a different, you know, like Native Americans or something. So maybe we got that word from them.
I have viewed anybody who calls it a coyote as a city slicker.
But that's actually what they're called.
And you might be right, but you're not right.
That's what they're called.
In my brain, no. I came up this morning, too.
Look up the sound out version, Michael.
It's going to be coyote. I know it is.
Yes.
I came up with a new word this morning for snowstorms in northern Colorado in March.
Uh-huh.
It's wevy snow.
Why?
Because I combined wet and heavy.
Oh,
so now
okay.
It's wevy. And Brian said, wevy happy, we're doing wadio. And I'm like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you.
You had this thought-provoking...
Coyote.
It's coyote.
There's two of them.
It's a coyote, man.
According to the dictionary, coyote is the first one and coyote is the second one. But it says chiefly Western. And also it says next to it, inbred.
Stupid FCC. Anyhow, the Avalanche beat the Coyotes last night in a shootout. Valerie
the Duckies
Nijuzkin,
tonight.
Where I come from, like, oh. No, they beat them in a shootout, and the Avs are hot, man. And I think this is still the year. I still think that this is the year that you could be staring at dual parades come June and July for the two teams that call Ball Arena home. I think that's still a real thing. I think that could very well be happening. But double dub tonight. Let's get it done. And what? There was something else that happened over the weekend that I was going to bring up with you, but I don't remember.
CSU stuff, transfer portal stuff.
The Dalton Connect thing.
Dalton Connect. I mean, just weird stuff happening. Crazy times.
Still makes me sad about Dalton Connect, but no, it's been a crazy couple of weeks. Okay, XFL. You paid any attention?
I'm out. I got out after the first week. I
watched 3 weeks of it, and then I'm out.
I tried to get into it. I just don't care. So there's enough going on.
Yeah.
Where I just can't get into it.
My dad had a decent idea. He doesn't watch any of the XFL. He goes, are you kidding me? They started this back up. I'm like, no. He goes, they ought to take the Super Bowl winner, whoever the Super Bowl winner is, and match them up with the best team out of the XFL just to show everybody the quality difference. Because I think we get in, it's like, oh, it's still football. But the quality difference from what we see in the NFL to the XFL or the USFL, I'm like, that would be kind of cool just to see improve a point.
It won't happen.
No, it would never
happen.
The
better idea, sorry, no disrespect to your dad, but this is way better idea. The worst team in the NFL... moves down to the XFL. The best team in the XFL moves up to the NFL.
Great idea, too.
It's just like soccer.
No, I would love that.
That'd be kind of a fun thing.
Like
that
you,
would talk about meaning
I think,
for a season.
I think the Houston Roughnecks, I think that they could win more games than the Houston Texans in the NFL. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not.
All right. We'll get to what we learned on the other side. Did we learn anything? We'll find out on the other side. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKN.
Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn today on this 27th day of March? We learned that Joel Embiid's ducking the champ right now, the MVP champ anyway.
I learned that even though you're deeply in love with Lamar Jackson, you still wouldn't give up that much money for him.
The unrestricted franchise tag is scary.
Yeah.
You know how much I value draft picks.
You're still in love with
them, man. The
Broncos
gave up all of their draft picks to bring in Peyton and Russell Wilson, and I value those.
I also learned that it's Coyote, not Coyote.
It is Coyote,
no.
Actually.
False.
That is the real thing there.
You think Michael learned anything today?
What'd you learn today, Michael?
I learned that Coyote comes from Mexican Spanish from Aztec root.
Fantastic.
Coyote, which means trickster.
Okay. Good.
actually appropriately named.
Yes, that's true. I learned everything from Looney Tunes, and they call him Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
And that's all you
that's
need to know.
That's why they call him Wile E. There we go.
They don't mess up animals. Bugs Bunny. That's a real thing. A Daffy Duck.
That is,
you know,
those are
Porky the Pig, and then Wile E. Coyote. So why would they screw up one of the animals?
Yeah, they just made a mistake.
They did not.
They made a mistake.
Tasmanian Devil.
Those little things are cool creatures.
They turn into tornadoes when they get really they
I
go
wish
really fast.
That was real. I would have 9 of them.
Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for us. Tanner, thank you for setting in
You're
today.
Welcome.
I'm still foggy brained here, so we limped through today, but you made it a better show. Michael as well on the other side of the bulletproof glass. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.